a logo appears, FX Fearless. FX presents a Campfire Milestone TV and Film Incorporated production. Over floating photos of various young girls, words appear. Be pretty. Be soft-spoken. Don't be bossy. Be nice. Don't be messy. Smile. Archival footage shows a blonde woman driving a car as credits continue. A film by Andrea Nevins.
It's very hard for a woman who has been brought up to be sweet and clingy to stand up in front of 2,500 people and say, okay, now listen to me. You're really tremendous at the power when you're standing up and commanding them to listen to you. You must be a very strong woman.
Women have always been in comedy.
Stop. What the hell are you talking about?
But now we're at such a critical mass that we can't ignore that women are hilarious and making content that everybody wants to consume. Don't talk about me like how you
might love it. Top of the world with your words. It's not about talking like men or talking about the stuff that they talk about. It's about our experience, and that is as valid as theirs.
Women have an advantage in stand-up comedy because we've been dabbling in our feelings for far longer than men have. And so that's why we're killing the game right now. I'm not your
friend. Words appear as a dictionary entry. Hysterical, adjective, 1610s, characteristic of hysteria. From Greek hysterico, suffering in the womb. 1, an excitability and unrestrained emotion. 3, informal, very funny. A hysterical movie / joke. A title appears, Hysterical. The New York cityscape glows at night. A 30-something blonde, Nikki Glaser, speaks to a 30-something brunette, Rachel Feinstein, as they walk down a street.
Did I tell you the one time I was in the bathroom there, and I had just gotten off stage, and I had, like, not a great set because I was trying new stuff, and this girl walked in with her friend, and she goes, I love the girl that's on now, but that last girl, and I just go, please don't finish the sentence, please don't finish the sentence, I'm the girl, I'm the girl. And the girl goes, she stopped. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, which made me realize that she was gonna say something bad. But she was like, I'm so sorry. And I go, it's okay, just don't, we walk amongst you.
People line up beside a velvet rope at a venue. A sign reads, the Comedy Cellar at the Village Underground. A woman with long curly hair approaches. Words appear, Judy Gold.
How's everything?
Good, how are you?
Good to see you.
My girlfriend, Elisa.
She enters the venue. Elsewhere, a middle-aged woman walks by. Words appear, Jessica Kirsten. She walks into Comedy Cellar.
Almost every famous comic started here.
With Nikki and Rachel.
Where should we go? Do you want to go back to the table?
A reserved sign sits on a table.
This is the infamous comics table. We all eat dinner together and, you know, tell jokes and bust with each other.
On the big screen, I always hook up my phone and, like, take them through my funniest friends. You're on there all the time. You'll get there. And keep submitting.
There's also a ton of camaraderie here. The Stand is like that in New York, and Comedy Store in LA, and the Improv. Like, there's certain clubs where people really become family and close and hang out.
Oh, how are you? Good to see you. Good.
On the road and in a lot of other clubs, it's very hard for women to get stage time. So this is where you end up after you get all that stage time and you can prove yourself. Oh, here's Nikki's.
She points at photos.
I don't have my glasses on. This is my favorite place. Thank you. And Marina. Here's Lisa Lampanelli. Here's Carmen.
Carmen Lynch performs on a talk show.
The very first time I performed on stage was for 2 minutes. And right then, I felt like I just got married and had a baby. Like, I'm like, this is what I want to do. I never felt that way about anything.
What does that even mean, awkwardly hot? I've never even heard those two words put together. How do you even say thank you to awkwardly hot? Thanks.
She makes an expressive gesture. Sherry Shepherd.
I love stand-up. The joy I get from getting on stage and being able to take people on a journey to a place where they forget what they're going through.
And I'll bet you get up at 23 and you just, I can't do that because that last egg just fell when I...
Margaret Cho.
It's mostly people's biggest fear to get up in front of others and try to make them laugh.
I told my mother when I was 14,
I wanted to be a comedian. And she said, oh, maybe it's better if you just die. But for me, when I was starting out, I was very different, very young. And so I had to also convince people that I had something important to say.
They always show me doing stand-up, and then the camera goes out in the audience and looks for the Asians in the audience. Look at them in their natural habitat.
A stout woman performs.
Genetics didn't work out for me, so that's why I am a comic. I figured my options were comedian, softball coach, or UPS driver.
Words appear, Fortune Feimster.
The beauty of comedy is that I have a voice, I have a microphone, and I can just go out there and do my thing.
I pick comedy because I don't look good in brown.
You have the mic, it's your turn. I was a weird kid. I was just like awkward, you know, like one of my breasts grew before the other. I had like a starter tit, which is not a hot look for a girl. I have control. And I'm a storyteller, so I get to tell my tale.
I was like, really? Okay. And then he goes, little boys think that tits matter, but adult men know that ass matters. That's all. I'm like, but you're 14.
Eliza Schlesinger.
Crafting a joke and feeling that energy where knowing in your gut, I just delivered this high and now I have to say something deeper. Or I said this fast, if I say this part slower, it'll be funnier. It's melodic almost.
Girls have a more insidious kind of crazy. Sometimes we'll start a fight with you just to see if we can make it look like you started the fight. Every girl's done that, just to see how strong your powers are.
It's almost like singing, like you can just riff and knowing energy-wise that you can take them anywhere.
Stop it. I don't want to fight with you.
But in your girl head, you're like...
I want to fight with you.
Marina Franklin.
The best experience on stage is when the whole room is with you and you feel like you're truly sharing a story that they can connect with.
Strong black woman, that never felt like a compliment. That always felt like work. Someone was like, hey, what you doing on Saturday? I got this heavy couch. I need a strong black woman.
Nikki Glaser.
I used to be like, ugh, when comedians would like pat themselves on the back or like, we are the last bastion of free speech. And it's like, no, we kind of are.
Naked pictures, I send those and I shouldn't. The cloud is not secure, but like, neither am I. And I need constant validation.
When someone tells me I can't talk about something, I just like want to do it more.
I loved The Sixth Sense though. I loved, and the ending when the guy came in my eye and I didn't have to watch the rest of it, that was great.
In stand-up, there is no one telling us what to do.
Cut to black. Words appear. Childhood. Noun. 1. The state of being a child. 2. When girls learn what they can't do.
What is it that beats inside the heart and soul of a comedian that makes you want to make people laugh, that makes you want to stand up stage alone?
Damage. No, I'm sorry. No, I don't know. Yeah, there's probably a little piece of a lot of us that is filling some sort of void, right?
At the Comedy Cellar.
Where are you guys from?
Here?
Okay, what do you do?
You're a social worker. That's probably why you've been laughing so hard.
Yeah, my mother's a therapist too. Yeah, it's incredible. She had saw clients in the basement of my house my entire life. So I had to be quiet. She'd be like, Judy's coming today and she's having a really hard time. So I'm gonna need you to be quiet upstairs because Judy needs help. Julie's really struggling. Judy. I'm like, well, I just ate 6 pizzas. And started cutting. But good luck to Judy.
Okay. I say this on stage as a joke, but like people start clapping. I'm like, no matter how much you clap, it'll never fill the hole. Like we're just trying to fill this hole and get the attention that we've always wanted that we can't get. I think it really goes back to childhood and just always wanting to be seen and heard and not feeling acknowledged.
I was not a happy kid. My parents weren't happy together, and you know, my father would be like tough on me. So I just kept thinking I'm bad, I'm wrong. So I used to fight boys every day after school, and I would normally not win.
I was very tomboyish, no interest in dolls, really tall.
I got teased from the minute I got up to the minute I came home from school.
6'3", I'm very tall. That is kind of tall. Actually, I reached this height, I was about 13 years old, which was horrible, because I walked down the halls in grammar school. Everyone called me Sasquatch and everything, right? I didn't know what to do.
Judy Gold.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Then I'd go home to my mother. I'd be like, Mom, all the kids are teasing me in school. I don't know what to do. She'd say to me, Judith, don't worry about it. They're jealous of you. Go upstairs and put on your father's clothes. Leave me alone. Get away from me. I can't stand it.
Yeah, I got bullied a lot. We moved my family. My dad moved my family to the suburbs of Chicago. So it wasn't many black people, and it was very prejudiced. So, you know, I got called the N-word all the time. I didn't like to fight. I didn't like confrontation. So I was always the one that came in and tried to make people laugh. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. My family felt I should play it safe, get something where you don't get fired. So I chose to be a legal secretary. This is like eons ago.
I come from a very traditional family. I grew up in Spain and moved to the States when I was 8. And I was very shy because I would say things incorrectly and then someone would laugh. Like, I'd just be like, well, I'm just not going to speak up then.
Bonnie McFarlane.
To my family, I was a very strange person. I liked things that they didn't like. I found humor in things that they didn't find funny. They were very hardworking. We grew up on a farm. For a long time, we didn't have running water.
I'm from Canada. I grew up on a farm there. And I live here now, but, you know, everyone back home is always like, hey, don't go Hollywood. And I'm like, I want to go Hollywood, you know? I want to have it all. I want to have a convertible, a car phone, a drug addiction. I just have to get a convertible. I am this close.
Everyone assumes you're kind of the class clown that's like, look at me, look at me. But I was a cautious kid. My mom said I would always look both ways before crossing the street. So it's weird that I ended up in this job that has such a lack of stability and you're having to take risks all the time.
I grew up in the suburbs of Dallas, Texas, for many years with like a single mom. And I moved schools a lot, so I definitely never felt like I fit in, especially growing up in Dallas, Texas. Like, all the girls had bangs, they were perfect, Christian. And then there was like, me.
You did wear an eye patch as a child.
I know that
about you.
I had something called amblyopia, which affects a lot of people.
Really?
And so I had an eye patch, and then I had a special one that went over my glasses.
Oh,
I went
no.
to private school. In private school, like, no one makes fun of anyone. Because public school, it's like, yeah, you know, think fast, nerd. And in
right.
private school, it's like, we don't know how rich your parents are, so let's err on the side of caution.
Rachel Feinstein.
I was like an emergency moron in school. Like, I mean, they didn't know what to do. There was a lot of meetings about me, just like D's, F's. They were just like, we don't know why she's dumb. I loved voices, I love affectations and how people speak, so since I was little, I would get attention that way. But I couldn't learn. They couldn't stuff information in my brain. So I moved to New York when I was 17 with this guy and his band called Dick Sister.
All I knew is that I really love stand-up comedy, I love the art form, and I knew that I was meant to do it in some capacity, but there was no real aspirations of stardom or success, because I'd never seen Asian Americans do that. And I'd never seen really that many women doing that. You know, maybe I would get to open for a big star when they came into San Francisco. Maybe I could be a weather woman in the local news.
I think I had a good childhood, my mother asked me to tell you. No, but I had like a lemonade stand with a 2-drink minimum.
Wendy Liebman.
I was clinically depressed. For me personally, it was that it didn't seem like I made a difference. It gave me an identity to be the funny one.
Wendy Liebman, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's talk about your coming up. How was St. Louis growing up?
It was great. I had the best childhood.
Something's wrong already. Hang on.
Okay.
Cannot compute. Did you say you had a sister that you...
He had a really beautiful sister.
Was that why you started searching for ways to get attention and found comedy?
Yeah, I had buck teeth and no value. And so I was like, I have to come up with something.
Here we are in our condo, kids watching TV.
It's the best talk show ever.
I loved Hollywood and I loved models and I wanted to be them. Like, I just knew when I was a kid, like, that was going to make it happen somehow. But then I realized I wasn't as pretty as my sister. And that the pretty girls were getting the roles in the plays.
Everywhere my mom took us, people would stop my mom and be like, this child needs to be a model about my sister. And I would literally like creep from behind my mom's legs like Nosferatu, like, what should I be? Just waiting.
And what about me?
What's my future hold? I had a therapist used to yell at me and be like, you're not a beauty. You're average looking and it's enough and it's fine. Yeah, she was really, really harsh. I've had some bad therapists.
I go to therapy too.
Marina Franklin.
I have to. Mine is very expensive too. I actually told her, I said, you know, you're too expensive. I don't think I can afford you. And she just looked at me and she said, let's talk about why that is.
Photos show Marina as a child.
I grew up in Chicago, Highland Park, which is a very white neighborhood. They weren't racist at my school, but when I went to camp, it was really bad. They would say things like, her skin's dirty, you know, she looks like she smells. They would say awful, awful things on the bus. Bus driver never said anything. Back then, you just had to learn how to live with it. And one of the ways I did was by being funny. I didn't know that I had a thing for comedy. I had no idea.
Lisa Lampanelli.
My mother was a big yeller. She was had a lot of rage. She had these rageful attacks when we were growing up. And I think I was that middle child who could make mom laugh to diffuse the tension in the house.
Looking at this head, it reminds me to go home and clean my dildo.
Lisa on stage, 2005.
That's not true. Mine's black. Anyway.
So I, as a comic, was doing jokes to shut everybody up before they get to me.
Wait a minute, you're Hispanic? Oh my God, you look so employed.
And pretty soon, 90% of my stuff is all these insults making fun of the audience.
I'm glad you people like me because my mother hates me.
In my own family, I've always known laughter to be the most healing thing. Everyone in the family has touched trauma in some way. It's mostly not something we talk about.
Kelly Bachman.
So we choose to laugh at funerals. We choose to laugh when somebody's getting divorced. Somebody has the job to make things funny. We look to that person and it helps. And I made a choice to be that person in my family.
On stage.
A lot of people tell me that I look really skinny as a compliment pretty frequently. They often want to know the secret to how I maintain this figure, and secret is definitely irritable bowel syndrome. Onset by severe stress and trauma. I guess a lot of people want a skinny girlfriend, but no one wants to know how the sausage gets made. Fine.
Ladylike, adjective, 1. Appropriate for a well-bred woman or girl. 2. Dainty, opinionless, knows when to shut up. A news graphic reads, U.S. comic Jerry Lewis bothered by female comedians.
Jerry, who are your favorite female comedians?
My favorite female comedian was Cary Grant. I cannot sit and watch a lady diminish her qualities to the lowest common denominator. I just can't do that.
You know what you look like normally? You look like the lady that looks in a fun mirror at the Palisades Park. Short and fat, but you're regular like that. Did you ever notice?
I look in the mirror, I see Raquel Welch. I swear.
She's staying with you?
No, I got a picture of her in my mirror.
You're different from other girls.
That's what you think.
You're smarter. You're almost like a man.
As a little kid, I really didn't understand, like, why does he get to do that and I have to do this? Just because he's a boy? Like, I was really floored by that.
Carol took a general home economics course, one which fitted her for that very important career of being Mrs. Johnson. She was glad that her college training had prepared her so well for home life.
The idea of what femininity is, and in a lot of people's minds still is dainty, quiet, ladylike. You learn the most ladylike thing is to shut your fucking mouth and not have an opinion and whatever your husband says. And here were these women comics who were like, don't tell me what I can say, don't tell me what I can do. Go fuck yourself.
Aged footage of a woman on stage, Moms Mabley, 1948.
Thank you, children. Thank you, darling. I know you children all relaxed back there, sitting back there, looking at Mom. You think you're going to hear some jokes, don't you? Well, Mom don't know none. Mom don't know no jokes, but I can tell you some facts.
Moms Mabley, I admire her on so many levels because she, in order to really get out there and tell her truth and for people to, for it to be palatable to an audience, she had to dress like an old woman. She was very opinionated, but in order for them to accept what she had to say, she had to be an old woman.
What do they call, do they call you Jackie down there or Moms? I've never known. It's Jackie.
No, they like me down there, tell the truth.
Yeah.
They name me Roy Rogers' horse.
Trigger.
Trigger. Yeah.
That's what they call you in the
song? Yeah. Everywhere I go, hello, Trigger. What you saying, Trigger? At least I think that's what they say.
In the beginning, it was a lot of people that people don't know about. Toadie Fields, Belle Barth.
Sophie Tucker, Jean Carroll, who doesn't get enough credit at all for being one of the first female stand-ups.
Well, I said, then I'll buy something in satin to match my eyes. She said, we have no bloodshot satin in stock. Well, I said, if you don't mind, I'd like to bring my husband down and have him look at it. She said, Jenny, look who's married.
You go back and look at all, women would get on stage, acknowledge that they're pieces of shit, and then go, okay, so here are my jokes. It was like, hi, I know I'm a woman. I know I should be home with my kids. So I'm going to acknowledge that. And then can you listen to my jokes, please?
But look, I love my work. I really do. Of course, it's scary. The lights scare me to death. Well, you see, they're so bright. Like when I was a housewife, if I ever had this much light on me, when I woke up, I had another kid.
Phyllis Diller, 1964.
Reading about your meteoric rise in this business, it says that your basic appeal is to the housewife.
Isn't that
somewhere
amazing?
Between 25 and 45.
Or take it up to 90. Well, I tell you, my goal in life is to get everybody. But first of all, I had definitely one audience, and it was housewives, because they identified with me. I was their Cinderella. I got out of the kitchen. You know, I finally was able to burn the ironing one last time.
Isn't it that you're putting down the man all the time, right?
Well, I pretend to, but you see, if I weren't nuts about men, I couldn't possibly do it.
I can't even imagine doing stand-up at that time. I don't even know how these women did it.
Oh, here's my daffy little friend, our daffy little friend, my little pixie friend, little Joan Rivers.
I loved Joan so much. Here's this brash Jewish woman on television with opinions.
Well, it's all sex. That magazine, you know, the lead article, How to Use Your Breasts to Get a Better Appointment. And it's like, you know, ding dong.
She was hysterical, you know, on a show with the whitest guy in the universe, like Nebraska. Making him laugh.
I had no idea where you were going there.
You always amaze me.
It was like, oh, that's what I want to be.
I saw Wanda on stage in college.
She was the first black woman that reminded me of myself.
I was like, I can do this.
Now you see, that's love right there.
I remember doing improv in high school and the boys would always grab the mic first. And I remember thinking like, you motherfucker, I'm gonna do this for a living. So quit hogging the mic with your garbage jokes. It never occurred to me like I'm a girl, I can't get up there.
I didn't want to do stand up. I didn't think I was a good performer.
But I love writing jokes. So on my 23rd birthday, I booked myself on an open mic and I went down.
I was just frozen with fear.
I was not fulfilled. I had such low self-worth. My mom was very sick. I had a sister that was on drugs. I just wasn't happy.
Carmen Lynch.
Just feeling frustration, like I just shut everything down. It's almost like it just filled up so much that I was like, I need to speak. My voice has to come out.
Carmen Lynch, everybody.
It was a huge step for me. Sometimes I'm shocked that I did it.
I did really well. I was like, this is my calling. And then, you know, the next 400 times I bombed pretty badly.
The first time I got off stage when I was 18, I called my dad and was like, I know what I want to do forever, and I'm going to do it, and this is it. We were both crying on the phone because I was anorexic. I was still, like, battling the illness. I was like, finally, something that's going to get me to figure out how to beat this.
I was like 28, and I went on stage and I killed, and it was the best feeling in the world. I was like, this is where I need to be.
My life was craziness and chaos, but once I got on that stage, it was like life was all good. There was a peace that settled over me.
I started at the Comedy Store performing at 1 a.m. for 4 drunk guys, and it sucked. But I liked that challenge of having to be in the middle of Hollywood. There's alcohol, there's cynicism. You know, like, I'm gonna make you laugh. I'm gonna figure it out. I might not make you laugh tonight, but I'm gonna make you laugh tomorrow night.
There's the dream, there's the fantasy, and then there's the reality check. I had never understood sexism until I got into the comedy scene.
Fade to black. Words appear. Comedy. Noun. 1. Causing laughter or amusement. 2. Sometimes thought exclusive to the male gender. Norm Macdonald on The Howard Stern Show, 2009.
Yeah, I'm not going to guide any lady through comedy. That would take me, first of all, I'd have to figure out how a lady could do comedy. And then I'd have to...
There was no
big, easy Jerry Lewis.
Stand-up comedy is a different kind of thing for some reason. Yes. Why do you think it is that guys are only funny in that? What is it?
Artie? I mean, I just think that it's a man's world, you know. I don't
Is that the answer? Yeah, can that be the answer? It's a man's world?
Still, to this day, you hear over and over and over, women aren't funny. Women aren't funny. It's ridiculous.
There are funny men and funny women. But I do understand that men might not want women to be funny.
Wow, San Francisco. People are so friendly here. I was on the cable car, and this guy offered me a seat on his lap. And then he got off. But I was gonna, what? It was a stop.
Where do you think that idea that women aren't funny came from?
Thought we weren't going to talk about this question.
We're not going to talk about the fact that women aren't funny because they are, but where do you think the idea came from?
It's not what I think, it's what I know. And the answer is, men have always gotten to do things first, whether it's owning property or having freedom of speech or anything fun and expressing yourselves, men got to do it first. So by sheer numbers, more men have been doing comedy for longer because women for so long were expected to stay home, have children, and then die.
That's pretty harsh.
Well, so's your coffee.
So it's not that women aren't funny. Women weren't allowed to express themselves and they weren't allowed to do it on a larger platform.
I'm Lila.
Punchline, 1988.
And I don't know what I'm doing.
Way too often I would hear, oh, we had a woman here 3 months ago. She didn't do well, so we're not booking women at this time.
It used to be like if you were doing shows, like even up to the 90s, comedians would bring on a female comedian and they would say, okay, we got a woman. And people would go, like, how dare you?
So sometimes they would put their head on, they just put their head right down on the table and not watch you.
There's always this guy at every show that I do, the arms folded, like you ain't gonna be funny because you a bitch guy. Now, sir, I know you had your arms folded the whole show. No, shut up. No, he's great. He's laughed at every single joke. The arms folder was just to separate the tits from the gut. I get it. Tit sweat is a bitch. I've been a victim of it myself.
You'll see the involvement through the show where they're like this, and then like 10 minutes later, they're like this. And then by the end of the show, they're like... They will be the first ones in the meet and greet line being like, I didn't want to come tonight. I thought this was going to be garbage.
I usually hate female comics, but you were good.
Still have Facebook messages from like 2010, like, women aren't funny, but I think you are. I'm like, thanks, Mom.
Okay, here we go. Now we're going to break it up with a lovely young lady, really. She's funny, she's lovely, and she's a good girl, too. I found that out.
This next comedy, you're going to love her. She's very good. She's gorgeous.
We got a little lady coming up here. I'll tell you what, she's funny as a man. I mean it. Give her a hand.
Rachel Feinstein.
I've been introed, like, the fact that I'm a woman is, like, a wacky experiment. They'll be like, we got a young lady coming up. Yeah, like, let's see how this goes down.
I think we should start doing it about men.
Oh, this next guy coming to the stage, his balls are bigger than you've ever seen in your whole life.
Yeah, you guys ready for some big balls?
Oh, you guys like testicles?
Yeah, like, especially...
this guy's got two of them, right, as far as we know.
Right.
I think it's indisputable that there has been a pipeline where there was a time when it seemed like there really was only room for one.
If there was two women back to back on a lineup, they would be like, oh, we just had a woman on, so we're gonna put a guy on and then we're gonna put you on. They would say that to your face. It's not redundant because you have two people of the same race or sex on back to back, but they would openly say that to you. It's like, oh, we can't go vag, vag. God forbid. We can go dick, 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 but we can't do two vaginas in a row. That would confuse everyone.
Okay, hold on, hold on. It's a night of honesty. It's a night of honesty. Where are the straight guys who were dragged by the wife or girlfriend? Yes, I know. I'm sorry, sir. I don't speak your language. I'm sorry. I speak fluent gay. I took 2 years in high school, and it just stuck.
As I started doing stand-up more, I would see a lot of other female comedians, but I have to be honest, 90% of them just aren't even in the business anymore.
You know, there's all these ways that we control each other, and to an extent we do that still as women to one another.
It was hard to like another woman because you felt threatened by, you know, only one person is gonna get the job.
I was bullied by a female comic really early on, like, so bad that I had to, like, kind of leave town, like, my home club in St. Louis. And she was so funny, and I looked up to her so much, and all I wanted was her approval.
Girls hate each other, especially during the day. But when the moon comes up and there's white wine involved, oh my God, Stacey, you look amazing.
I love you, can I just tell you? I love you, I do. But you know who I hate?
Becky.
Yeah, the competition thing, I mean, you know, you got this one slot. We need one woman. Networks, too. I will never forget pitching a show to a network and them saying to me, we already have, like, a blonde, funny woman. And I was just like, okay, I'll dye my hair red. Like, what are you talking about?
Words appear. Stage time. Noun. 1. Time in front of an audience. 2. Required for a comedian to practice her craft. A hand hooks up wires to an amplifier and adjusts an audio mixer.
You basically go up 5-7 nights a week for free at any place that has a coffee shop, a laundromat, a fucking noodle place, whatever, and practice.
The open mics you used to do in the city, I worked in a supermarket where people would be checking out and was like, hey, wow, you got relish. Like, it was horrible. And we didn't get paid, but we got to have the salad bar downstairs.
I moved to LA and I was like, how do I get stage time? And I would contact comics that had shows, and I'd be like, can I make your flyers? Can I jump on?
You guys do this? Oh, I didn't know it was gonna be a thing. How are you guys doing? That's weird. Okay.
Got off work at like 6, and I'd wait till like 8, and I'd go to the bar, and I'd eat my sad chicken finger dinner, and I'd wait for my spot, which was at like 9:30, and then you'd go get another one, and then you would just cobble together any spots you could get. You'd drive to Santa Barbara on a work night, because someone would give you 20 minutes. Just kind of figuring it out without realizing what the limitations could be or anything like that, just going.
When I came up, if you weren't performing every night, then you weren't serious about it. You were always told there's no excuse. Do not use being black as an excuse. Do not use being a woman as an excuse. You need to be good at this.
And I do realize as a black woman, which is how I start every conversation. I do realize it is my job to address what's in the air, but I have to be honest, I'm not good at it. I say things wrong. Like, I've been messing up on my pronouns lately because I met someone who's not a guy or a girl. They were a they, which is how they want to be referred to, and that's important. I care about that. It's just new to me. And in a sentence, structurally, It makes me sound like a runaway slave. Like, where are they at? Things coming? They down by the rip? They gonna be mad at that joke.
Some people are lucky, they find their voice in like 10 years, but you can't do that unless you feel comfortable on stage, and you can't feel comfortable on stage unless you do it every fucking night.
Did it feel like an even playing field for men and women?
Heck no. An even playing field? Are you kidding? What? It is not even an even playing field now. No, it was never an even playing field. It was so hard to get stage time. As a Black woman, I had to fight. I really, really had to fight for my spots. And I really, really had to prove to the comics that I was funny.
I was at a club and a guy had come up to me and I was coming out the bathroom and he said, excuse me, sis. I said, no, excuse me! I make my own money. I got my thing going. I don't need you to tell me what to do. I do my nails, I do my hair. I got it all covered here. Now, what you want? He was like, I was just gonna tell you, had some toilet paper stuck on your shoe.
Words appear, going on the road, idiom. 1, traveling to get stage time and payment. 2, lonely, repetitive, riskier for a woman.
In New York, first of all, you're lucky if you get on the schedule, and then you're gonna have 15 minutes, 10. On the road, I was getting 30 minutes of stage time as a feature.
I go to Flint, I'm performing at this college. Right before I go on stage, I go up to the student body president. I said, look, I just need to know for my act, do you guys have any Jews here? She goes, Jews? Yeah, we've got apple juice, grape juice, and orange juice.
Eliza opens a box and pours out a heap of cards.
This is every hotel key card that I've used since around maybe 2010. I don't use my own name when I check in, so a lot of these have a fake name. You can kind of like relive your life. You can demarcate it by hotel star ratings.
Some of the clubs would buy condominiums. Did anyone talk about this? Oh my God.
Welcome to the Comedy Condo at the Tampa Improv. Not actually at the Tampa Improv, kind of a couple blocks down the street into a pretty dangerous neighborhood. There's no MC staying with me. He actually lives in this complex in another condo.
Here I am, this sort of sheltered girl. I'm living with two guys I don't know for a week. And, you know, they'd bring home waitresses and they'd all, and I'm sitting there in like in my room with the locked door, reading a book with like, you know, Holy Shores come on the fucking comforter, you know.
Ew.
It's the dues that you have to pay to sort of get to where you want to go. But it's like so sad. You just think, what if this is my life?
Fortune performs.
I sat down on the couch and I started flipping through TV. Then I came upon the Lifetime Network. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Lifetime Network, but their slogan is Lifetime Television for Women. Now, if you were to watch some of these Lifetime movies they are most famous for, you would notice they often involve a woman being murdered, kidnapped, beaten, maimed, hoodwinked, you know, girl stuff.
Fade to black. Rachel Feinstein performs.
Usually when we're comedians on the road, like, they don't give a shit about us. They'll just send any sex offender to get us from the airport. I was in Alabama and they sent this man. You know when you meet someone and just right away you're like, oh, you're crazy. Like, I could feel him crackling with insanity, humming with madness. I got into his car. This is the first thing he said to me. This is what he opened with. He just goes, you is the first Jewish that I had ever met in my life. Which I guess is better than being his last Jewish. I'm not sure.
Montage, an aerial view of a street. A hand on a steering wheel. Liquor pours into a glass.
it's tricky because when somebody asks you to go on the road, you don't always know, you don't know why. Does this guy really respect my act, or is he gonna be just strange and gross and lascivious all weekend?
They don't know the feeling. They don't know what it's like to physically not be as big as someone and know that no matter how much smarter or funnier you are, at the end of the day, if that person wants to hurt you, they can.
I've had a fan follow me to my hotel room before and somehow know my room. I don't know how he did, but banging on the door all night, I had to call the cops. It's like, you know, you're a little bit like,
You know, of course it was, I got harassed, someone grabbed my boob.
It's happened so many times where guys casually just put their hand on my ass when they're taking a picture.
Right.
And it's, and no one ever sees it. I'll have security guards like watching and I'll be like, will you just watch for men touching me in weird places? Because it's always weird for me to call out because it's like in front of their wife and I don't want to embarrass them and make it a thing.
I had a guy lick me one time. And from that point on, I was like, there will always be a security guard.
Now comics follow me in the bathroom and push open the bathroom stall before. I mean, there's it goes on and on.
I was working with somebody on the road and he locked me in the dressing room and he came for me. But he was half my size. That's really stupid and insulting when somebody tries to rape you and they're half your size.
I've been in so many situations. I was assaulted by a comic. It's rough. You know.
You gotta be careful. There are crazy people out there. You know, I'm sure that's true for men too, but not as much.
I thought about you actually this weekend when I did that one club in Seattle. And you told me, you told me that the hotel situation was fine and it was horrible. Do you remember that? Do you remember that motel?
Yeah, but I was probably just used to abuse at that point in my life.
You raved about it. You said you could go get pancakes.
Oh, that pancake place.
Also, they have a different set of priorities. Yeah, where I can get food and get laid. We're thinking about, you know, safety.
No, no, no. When I was there once, a meth addict, it was like a motel style hotel, and he passed out against my window. And I was like, yeah, I should probably.
Sam's like, it's great. There's an outside entrance, so the girls can just walk right up to your room.
Yeah, no. Well, I don't know.
No, that's funny. I remember you called me about that hotel, and I guess I didn't really realize how bad it was. It is bad.
Elaine Boozler.
Women have so much more to worry about, huh? This summer I'm walking with my boyfriend. He says to me, gee, it's a beautiful night. Let's go down by the river. I said, what are you, nuts? I'm not going down by the river. It's midnight. I'm wearing jewelry. I'm carrying money. I have a vagina with me.
Wanda Sykes, 2006.
Wouldn't it be great if you would just leave your pussy at home sometimes? Just think of the freedom that you will have. You get home from work, it's getting a little dark outside. You're like, oh, I would like to go for a jog, but it's getting too dark. Oh, I just leave it at home. And you out jogging. Yeah, it could be pitch black. You still out there just jogging, enjoying yourself, you know? Some crazy guy jumps out the bush like, ah, you're like, I left it at home.
I didn't want to fuck any of the guys. I hung out with them. I heard every fucking shit they said about women and minorities and Jews and gay, you know. And I was like, okay, great, whatever. I just wanted to be good at my craft. I didn't let them or anything get in the way.
Words appear. Confidence. Noun. 1. Appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. 2. Often seen as hubris when displayed by females. Judy Gold talks to a comic, Rosebud Baker, at Comedy Cellar.
How was it?
I don't know. I've been on the road. I don't know what's happening.
Where have you been?
I was at Acme.
Oh, I love Acme.
I love Acme too. It was great. I saw your name on the thing.
Oh, on the lit and the thing in the dressing room?
Yeah, it was fun. But I just feel disconnected. Whenever I come back, I'm like exhausted.
Oh, I know. You gotta take Sunday off. Like, you gotta enjoy the work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be on the stage if you didn't deserve to be.
Yeah. I don't remember that. I didn't trick anybody.
Right, you're not a fraud.
Yeah.
You got in here and you did. Do you think the guys ever, when they get in here, are like, never, you earned that time. It's your time.
Yeah.
Don't let them in your head. It's a process.
Thank you.
How long have you been doing it?
I appreciate that.
Confidence is only a question that we ask women about because it's just a given that men will have it. We're always telling unconfident women to be confident. And then when they get confident, we're like, why are you so confident? Tone it down. That's making us feel less confident. Okay, oh, let's build you back up, knock you back down. We have an obsession with monitoring women's confidence and their hubris. I truly believe our society operates on a currency of women's insecurities. Multi-billion dollar industries thriving on, like, just make them feel like their bodies are unacceptable and then, like, sell them some shit. Look at any magazine, like, you're amazing, but you need to lose, like, 10 pounds. Love your body, love your hair. Whatever you've done is wrong. You look like a sea monster. Everything's got like a weird mixed message and a weird like hoary undertone. Like, be a bad girl, own your sexuality. But if you fuck more than one dude, you're a whore. Like, everything's wrong.
It's not easy. It's not. And men and women are different, you know? Do you ever notice like women, whenever we look in the mirror, we're insecure, we judge ourselves, or just we tear ourselves apart. Just look at me. Look. Like, even if you're stunning, look at my eyes. They're like a different shape. I hate my hair. So unattractive. This is how most men look in the mirror, no matter how horribly unattractive they are.
She makes a face with raised eyebrows and wide eyes.
I'm fucking hot.
Fade to black.
I know I'm smart. I know I'm funny. I don't question those things. I do question that I'm pretty. And it's so stupid. It's so stupid to say. And it's so sad.
But
I know I
be.
Wish I could just accept myself, but I just have really low self-esteem because I was born a woman. And so maybe I was born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Nikki sits in a makeup room.
Good. It's so much easier to be a man. I mean, you get it. You're like, you see, you work with all, like, mostly men on camera. You see what work goes into them being on camera versus.
As we sit here and hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Grateful for you and what you do, but, you know, ultimately resent it. You were just fed from the day, from at least I was from day one, that looks matter.
Photo shoots send me into depressions. Anything that makes me focus on my vanity, that's what really makes me have anxiety.
My dad used to tell me I was so beautiful, and I was an ugly child, like I legit was. I was diagnosed as one at the age of 11 by a caricature artist at a Six Flags. So I have the documentation.
Men look for looks, remember that. Don't waste your time learning to read a book.
I want to congratulate you, you've taken off a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Your hair is different, everything about you is different.
A lot of really established comedians, men, would say, don't be so pretty. Can't be too pretty. You can't be too pretty because they're gonna be mad. The women will be jealous because you're so beautiful. The men will just want to have sex with you, so don't be too pretty. A beautiful woman is a threat.
Rachel has makeup applied.
If you see any patches of archaic sadness, just blot them. Just keep plastering this lie on me. Yeah, have some like little dickhead in my head that's like, hey, you look fat in that shot. So I wish I didn't have those thoughts. All I do is just bat them away as much as I can.
She looks in a mirror.
You're smart, you're funny, you're just a little insecure, that's all.
Fortune Feimster.
My mom was a girly girl, so she wanted me to dress more feminine, so she started shopping for me, and for some reason she started putting me in these power suits. Yeah, like a pantsuit, which is just an older version of gay. I look like a 50-year-old woman lawyer just going to court in my power suit. Like, who's ready to litigate, ladies?
Of course I'm gonna get called fat. I'm gonna get called a dude. I'm gonna get called whatever. You just kind of go, okay, and move on.
But I don't understand shoulder pads where people just like, oh, your shoulders hadn't come in yet. Let's get you some pads.
But I'm never gonna be like, Oh God, I felt so fat up there. Who cares?
I have achieved more peace in my body as I've gotten older, but it took a long time to get there.
Once upon a time, I had my own TV show called All American Girl. I got a phone call from the producer of the show that the network is concerned. They think that you're really overweight. And you're gonna have to do something about it. If you wanna be a star, if you wanna have a show, you're gonna have to do something.
I wanted to be successful at this, and I was just willing to do whatever. And if that meant don't eat, don't eat. I just was fine with that.
I lost 30 pounds in 2 weeks. And my kidneys collapsed. It happened on the set of the show. I guess the network had decided that my face could now fit on the screen. The first episode was about my character, and I do stand-up comedy and publicly embarrass my family. So at the end of the episode, I learn my lesson, I go back on stage, and I vow never to publicly embarrass my family again. Quentin Tarantino, who I was dating at the time, called me up straight away. What the fuck was that? That is so fucking wrong. I can't believe you. You fucking live to publicly embarrass your family. What's wrong with you? They took away your voice. Don't let them do that. Don't let them take away your voice. I didn't get it. I was like, but I'm a size 4.
Judy Gold.
All those years of too tall, too loud, too Jewish, too gay. It took me so long to realize I am angry.
No one's funnier than us.
No one!
Kathy Griffin. Sarah Silverman.
Fuck you! But a woman can't be angry, because if she's angry, she's mentally ill. She's hysterical. She's a bitch.
Or diva. Or a nag.
Difficult, bitchy, hard to work with.
When women, like, go crazy, it's because people chip away at you and then you snap. And it's like, see, crazy. If someone's crazy, of course you don't have to listen to them or heed their warnings or take them seriously. You write them off.
Male comics are often really, really celebrated for their very famous anger.
Gives me carte blanche. I got a con and I'm drunk. I can do anything I want.
Shut up. I'll let go when you shut up. Girl, I'll shake this weave out your head. I don't give a fuck. Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
Talking about hitting women, sweetheart. And I think you just added another reason.
We're not allowed to show that we're angry, even though we are. Women are filled with rage, but we have to keep a smile and not show it because of wrinkles and likability. So we shove it down, shove it down. But it comes out, it finds a way, like water.
Margaret talks with Linda Myszewski.
It was always very hard to talk about trauma in comedy because audiences don't want the dailiness of tragedy to encroach upon when they are laughing.
And I find it really interesting that this is becoming, that kind of admission of trauma is part of comedy's venue these days.
Yeah. And nowadays, it's become really a testament to comedians' skill to use that suffering in a way as like almost like colors that you would paint with, you know? Like to use all of that darkness to, I guess, contrast to the lightness.
At Comedy Cellar, Marina approaches a table of comedians and gets a hug from Judy. Later, they all have dinner.
Well, I'm about to go on stage, probably gonna bomb. It's in
what are you
minutes.
Gonna talk about?
How I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
What?
Judy hugs and kisses her.
I don't remember anything about this.
Yeah, but I'm gonna be
but
fine.
You're gonna talk
you're gonna
about
be
it
fine.
On stage?
You're gonna be fine.
That's so great. You can talk about what she said. Judy's like, so great, she gets to talk about it on stage. Most people get breast cancer and have to like live with it, the torture inside it. You get to.
Marina, you have and have always had great tits to see.
Let's see if it doesn't work.
Oh, Judy.
What would I do without you?
It's hard to do it in 8 minutes. That's the problem. It's like it, breast cancer. Hello. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, I found out my diagnosis. Everything flashed before me. And I thought about when I was in high school, what I wanted to be. And then I thought about my career and where it was and where it wasn't. And then I thought about all of the things that I wanted for my life. By the time I got to the comedy club, tears were gone. I was calm.
Marina Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you didn't hug? That's okay. These guys, these days, you know. They're so, it's all right. It works for my act, so that's fine. No, because they're not giving us hugs. It's the Me Too movement. Because this is how they're hugging. They're hugging.
She pushes her hips back.
You know, and I'm hugging like that.
She thrusts.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll give you a good vag hug. That's right. Because I was with this brother, and he came quick. And I was laying there, and he was asleep, and I started feeling myself. And I felt something. And this is not the funny part, actually. I don't want you to accidentally laugh on the unfunny part. But I had, because this is new material. But I had a lump, and it was breast cancer. But you guys are like, oh, where's she going? The thing is I caught it early. So I'm going to be good. Yeah, yeah. You can applaud that. You can. You can. Yes. Caught it early. Because of the bad lay that I had. Apparently, if I hadn't had a bad lay, I would have never caught it early. So you guys are actually, you don't realize that you're providing a service. So I guess come quick. Thank you. I like that extra laugh. Okay. You guys are really good for me trying this material out. I'll say, how do I get out of cancer material? It's not easy, I'm gonna tell you. Okay, this is another new one. Fertility, I gotta do fertility stuff. That's aggressive coming at men because I need sperm. That's kind of creepy. Just, I need your sperm. I don't even need you. I was like, Louis C.K. is actually useful right now. I was like, you know that... You know that thing you do? If you could do that into a cup, please. Hey, you guys were amazing. Thank you so much.
And I was scared. I'm not gonna lie, I was really scared to share it.
They were so good. My God.
Judy hugs and kisses Marina.
It was so good for me, and I could see that I was actually reaching people.
The things that we're talking about as comics, like, this is your experience on this planet. And comics are here to just hold up that mirror to be like, this is us. I think George Carlin, you know, calls us comedians modern day philosophers. We're also whistleblowers. You're standing up for what you believe is right and you're calling things out. I mean, it's my job to stand up there alone in the dark and tell you where I see bullshit.
Kathy Griffin holds up a fake bloody head of Donald Trump at a photo shoot.
So should it be more straight on like that?
Nope, I'm seeing this side.
No, more...
Right like that.
There you go.
Okay. Just like that.
You got it.
It all started when celebrity photographer Tyler Shields released this video of Griffin slowly lifting up what resembles the head of Donald Trump for all to see.
after she was photographed holding up Trump's head, there was such a huge backlash.
When that photo went live in March 30th, 2017, I lost everything within 12 hours. I was in the middle of a 50-city tour, and the last 25 cities of the tour were all canceled.
The comedian is dealing with the aftermath of what she now describes as a mistake.
I'm a comic. I cross the line. I move the line, then I cross it. I went way too far.
For the first time in history that we are aware of, the president of the United States and his family is personally attempting to ruin a comedian.
It was all so much bullshit. She got so railroaded. You know, I'm sorry, but Kathy Griffin, men haven't liked her for years.
Many male artists have created far more disturbing imagery. A Marilyn Manson music video shows him beheading a Trump figure. The band Municipal Waste has an image of Trump with a bloody gunshot to his head. The band GWAR has had violent images like this for president after president for years. They're all just considered bad boys.
They would never treat a male comedian that way. I've never seen that. Even male comedians who threaten gang rape don't get that kind of shit.
At a press conference.
I'm a woman in a very male-dominated field, and I think it's important to have comics that do super clean comedy, comics that do political commentary, prop comics, all of it. You don't have to like me, but you shouldn't silence a comic.
Joan Rivers would have done the same thing. Kathy, Joan, just fearlessness. Fearlessness in a way that I don't have. Like that girl that was on stage when Harvey Weinstein was in the room, that was the type of thing I watched, and I was like, I don't know if I could have done that.
Harvey Weinstein's trip to a comedy show ends in a Me Too confrontation that's gone viral.
He's accused of sexual misconduct by more than 80 women.
Right before I got on stage, I was asking all the people around me, you know that's Harvey Weinstein, right? Like, I need to say something? I'm a comic, like, right? I should say something? And a well-dressed woman drinking a martini at the bar next to me went, no, don't say anything. Are you kidding? Like, no. And I was like, oh, she's not gonna like this.
I'm feeling a little tense. Anybody else?
Kelly Bachman, 2019.
I'm a comic. And it's our job to name the elephant in the room. Do we know what that is?
I saw the show where this, this great female comic was like, really like calling out the elephant in the room with Harvey Weinstein being in the room. And I'm like, oh my God, that is really badass.
I didn't know that we have to bring our own maids and rape whistles to actors hour, y'all.
Boo! No!
Have them be booing you and still stick to it. I mean, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
No!
Shut up! No?
Someone said, shut up. And that's the most triggering thing.
Oh, shut up!
Just felt like I kind of saw red. That's the part that is difficult in the room, continuing to say, you're booing me, but I'm gonna keep my composure and say another funny thing.
This kills at group therapy for rape survivors. They love it, yeah.
Woo, woo! Yeah, woo!
Surprisingly, by no one in this room, but I've never gotten to confront those guys, so just a general fuck you to whoever I,
That is nothing less than an act of civil disobedience. So for anyone out there, and including the women that are saying, oh, couldn't she have been more ladylike? Couldn't she have said it in a softer tone? I go, oh my gosh, we're still hearing that stuff.
I wrote her and told her, like, you've changed the way that I've thought and behaved on stage. And she's someone who just started in comedy. That's how cool that is, that like someone who's just starting out can like make me feel so empowered.
The fact that these women can get on stage and talk about rape, That's feminism. Because you know what? Women have been silent about this for thousands of years.
Amy Schumer, 2019.
You know, I'm so grateful to this new generation of women. They came along and they're like,
hey, have you been getting sexually harassed like this your whole lives? And we're like, oh, yeah. And they're like, yeah, you want to do something about that? And we're like, oh, yeah. That's a very good idea. They're like, yeah, yeah. We're like, oh. You're so used to it, you know? You're at work, and you're like, oh, I have to, like, make every guy think that we also might fuck and do a good job.
Names appear. Bill Cosby, Brian Callen, Chris D'Elia, James Veitch, Jeff Ross, Louis C.K., T.J. Miller.
What I do like is now I'm seeing comics speak up. I'm seeing a lot of badass girls get into this field now. I feel like they're equipped more than we were.
I do just want to confess the fame grab for a second, though. Like, I want to fully confess it. When I was getting raped 5 years ago, I remember thinking to myself, I can't wait. I can't wait to use this to get ahead in comedy.
I think what people like about my narrative right now is that I'm like David and Goliath, giant slayer, this nobody little girl stood up to the big bad wolf. And once you yourself stand up against power, then the narrative changes.
Cut to black, words appear, narrative, noun, one, a story reflecting specific values, two, a story that can be recast and rewritten. Marina performs.
Why guys?
She shimmies her shoulders with a smile.
You guys have had a pretty bad year.
I blow my husband whenever he wants, so I do that. If he wants a blowjob, I just give it to him. I don't know why. I love propping up the patriarchy, you know. No, that's what he calls his balls.
Maybe the Me Too movement didn't exactly open more doors for women. I mean, people were saying it's going to close doors for women. You know, men aren't going to want to work with women anymore. And it's like, oh, go fuck yourself. You know, really? We're supposed to put up with that so that everybody feels comfortable? But on the other hand, it really, I feel like there was a definite shift in we stopped competing with one another. And we went, you know what? This is it. We're in it together.
Kathy, I'm in a car with New York's finest.
Amy Schumer sent me this really great video the day the Trump photo went live and the walls were caving in. And I get this, you know, this video, and she's with three other comics, and it was so supportive.
We just want to say we fucking love you, and we're with you.
We're with
you're
you.
Hysterical. You're hilarious.
And you looked fucking great in that picture, by the way.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, you're all the
so
way.
Hot, and we love you, and you make us laugh so much.
We love you.
I felt very supported by it, very supported, especially at that time where it was not exactly popular to support me.
Like, people just started going to each other's shows anyway, just hanging out with each other. And it's really remarkable when you do stuff like that, how much it grows. And not to sound too corny, but that's how movements happen. And that's what I feel like is happening right now with women in comedy. It's like we're all fueling each other. And it's becoming something bigger, you know?
It's made me closer to women and feel better about being a woman.
Because we've all been in the same hotels. You know, we've been, like, depressed at the same Howard Johnson's in Toledo. And you guys have been there.
I've learned to become super supportive of other female comics because people did that for me. Like, Amy Schumer. Look at Inside Amy Schumer. There's so many female comics.
Now, I know what you're all thinking. You want to see the doctors right away. But you're just gonna have to settle for the unsung heroes up here who do all the real work.
Doctors can be very unapproachable. It's like, we get it, you're Grace, you're super busy.
And we're not busy. Thank you.
Inside Amy Schumer, Comedy Central used to say, our demographic is men and it's gotta be a man of this age. So Amy changed that, you know, dramatically.
It really does take one person in a position of power. Once they anoint you in this business, it helps tremendously. I had been coming up against a bunch of walls of people not knowing what to do with me. I was different, I looked different. And Chelsea Handler was the first person who got it.
You have two lesbians already. A third one would not kill you. You'd be like the lesbian Destiny's Child.
Tina Fey gave me some really cool opportunities, which led to getting on the Mindy Project. They definitely all got their arm back, lifting people up.
I could hook you up if you want to be an Uber driver.
I'm good. I already have a job. Thank you very much.
I think women are becoming a lot more powerful. I also think it's going to take a long time. But I've seen that the more and more we come together, the more work everyone's getting and the more money everyone's making.
Nikki is interviewed.
You have a new special out.
Yes, I have a special called Bangin', and I'm really proud of it. I've been doing this forever, and now I'm like graduating from clubs to like actual theaters.
The other thing people might know you from is how good you are at roasts.
I just did, I did the roast of Alec Baldwin, I've done the roast of Bruce Willis, and I did the roast of Rob Lowe. I feel like it's my thing now.
You are something funny.
There's so many types of women doing so many types of comedy now, and there's more of an appetite.
I hope that when women see me on the stage, they can go, wow, I think I can too.
Our new co-host, Sherry Shepherd.
But I want to see more women. I want to see a woman in a burqa get on stage and tell her truth.
Like, I followed a white comedian talking about horses the other day. It was great material. It was funny shit. It was great material about horses. I was so jealous. Because I knew, I was like, I know I can't get away with that. Like, I was up here talking about horses for like an hour. You guys would be like, this bitch know what's going on.
Do you feel like there's been a blossoming of voices of women and women of color?
I think it's definitely going in the right direction for comedy for Black women. I think they are getting a lot more attention now, but I think there are still some roadblocks.
A headline reads, Monique sues Netflix for discrimination over $500,000 offer for comedy special.
I want to see a female comic get a deal at Netflix that's a $50 million deal, like all of the other men. I don't know any woman that has done that.
Headlines read, Amy Schumer challenges Netflix on comedian pay gap. Word is Tiffany Haddish got $800K in her deal with Netflix.
I've probably earned about $75 million over the course of my career. Believe it or not, it's still for real like a tenth of what my male counterparts have earned. Like, I'm not even gonna, I have to be honest about that. I brought a death threat for you. Go to hell, Kathy! And then this is what I want you to know about the Trumpers, like how random they are. You are no different than Bill Cosby. I can think of one way, but... We still have a lot of work to do. As much as there's progress, if you notice the progress, it's not really a trajectory for all women. It's kind of like we're still in a period of fits and starts.
Ali Wong.
It's very rare and unusual to see a female comic perform pregnant because female comics don't get pregnant.
She performs pregnant.
Once they do get pregnant, they generally disappear. That's not the case with male comics. Once they have a baby, they'll get up on stage a week afterwards and they'll be like, guys, I just had this fucking baby. That baby's a little piece of shit. It's so annoying and boring. And all these other shitty dads in the audience are like, that's hilarious. I identify. And their fame just swells because they become this relatable family funny man all of a sudden. Meanwhile, the mom is at home chapping her nipples, feeding the fucking baby, and wearing a frozen diaper because her pussy needs to heal from the baby's head shredding it up. She's busy.
On a video call, Rachel paces holding a baby.
She's 1 month old. I'll be right back. I just wanted you to meet her. I mean, I'm scared about how I'm gonna juggle being a mother and doing stand-up, and I'm sure I'll fuck up a lot. I know it's been helpful to me to listen to other comics talk about being a mom. I just relate more when I can hear other female comics talk about juggling it.
Bonnie leads a young girl into a building.
So now I have a daughter. She's my world. She's my everything. She's like 5 or 12 or something like that. And
I did take my daughter on the road with me when she was little, when she could fly for free. I mean, literally, she was like 6 months old when I started taking her, and I'd just hand her over to somebody in the green room, the opening act in the green room, and I'd say, read her a book until I get off stage, and they were so nervous.
You gonna save your chopsticks?
This one or this one?
When I was a kid, we used to save our chopsticks. Oh, Daddy.
We have chopsticks at home.
I know, but we were poor.
So are we.
Words appear, tagline, noun. 1, any laugh line after the original punchline. 2, an ending. Lisa enters a living room and kisses a seated elderly woman.
Hello, how you doing?
Okay.
Good, do you want to play a little bit of cards while these people are here?
If you want.
Okay.
I started working on all the traumas that I've had in my life. And it's been fucking hard, but I think this is good for me because it's making me face literally all the stuff I've never faced in my whole life.
I decided to retire from stand-up about 2-3 years ago. I want to do something that has a clear message to make people feel better about themselves.
Lisa quit. Lisa Lampanelli quit, and I fucking love that she quit. And now she does self-help.
I do not want any transgender kid, any gay kid, any African-American person to feel like the jokes are real. So I said, you know what? It's all gone.
Yep.
I'm going to send a message of love in a funny way. And that's how it's going to be.
She told me she's never been happier. And I was like, God, someday I'm right behind you. I want to go do self-help because I love, that's what my act is turning into.
That's the fucked up thing about being a woman is that I did the roast of Alec Baldwin and everyone called me old. And the thing is, these men are twice my age calling me old, but to them, I truly am old. I'm literally older than all of their wives. So like, they're not wrong.
I wanna like make other women feel less alone. That's why I talk about sex all the time.
If you would have asked me like a year ago, Nikki, will you ever eat ass in your life? I would have been like, yeah, I did 2 years ago. But if you would have asked me 4 years ago, like, I would have been like, never. My whole life I'll go without eating ass. But one time I got horny enough that I was just like, it was right there by my nose and I was like, I'm going in. And I went in and I've only done it once and I haven't done it since. But because I've eaten ass, I know I am a woman who can do anything. Like I can do anything. Except be president, because I'm a woman.
On a street, Eliza holds a phone.
You got the role. You booked the movie.
She smiles and covers her mouth.
Whatever this life has in store, whether it's kids or having a movie career or something bad happens, there's always comedy to be mined from that. And that's why I love stand-up comedy.
Amazing.
I'm offering up myself in an effort to find myself, hoping that in doing so, you will also find yourself.
Stand-up helped me immensely. Please laugh at all my jokes. I have a heart murmur. Just to write a joke and share it with somebody, that's really just opened me up as a person. I believe in Jesus. Just kidding, I don't. I mean, I do, like, sometimes. Like, when there's turbulence, oh my God.
I do feel success. I do feel like things are really happening, but I don't think that I will ever get that hole filled. And I think that's a good thing because it'll make me keep doing stand-up. Like once you're content and happy, then what?
I'm so glad that I've been talking about breast cancer. And I started talking about it on my podcast. And so I would get these emails from women. They were like, after your podcast,
I'm like driving to get a mammogram. I'm going now. Me and my mama going.
And I was like, okay, this is why you do this.
That's me as an ice cream.
When I discovered who I was and found my place in LA, found comedy, I found myself. Even if you don't like gay people, maybe I'll make you laugh. And if that makes you feel less hate towards gay people, then great. I'm doing something right.
I finally get the courage to tell her. I'm like, Mom, I'm gay. And her face just drops. She becomes silent. She looks stern. I don't know what she's thinking. And this goes on for what feels like an eternity. I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? Like, is this the end of our relationship? Does she hate me? And finally, my mom gets up very sternly and she grabs her purse. She goes, let's go. we're going to Hooters and we're gonna tell them it's your birthday. And I was like, yes!
I think that we've changed the landscape of what is comedy, and I really appreciate that.
I am not gonna die because I failed as someone else. I'm gonna succeed as myself, and I'm gonna stay here and rock the mic until the next Korean American, fag hag, shit starter, girl comic, trash talker comes up and takes my place!
Margaret Cho smiles, looking out at an audience. Her smile widens as she tilts her head back. A sign outside a building reads Vitello's. Inside, Wendy Liebman sits in the audience watching a stand-up set.
I'm producing the show called Locally Grown Comedy. It's grassroots community that I've created.
So there's food in there.
I want my comedians to feel very cared for.
Don't fuck it up.
I've written to each comedian to thank them for doing my show and telling them how awesome they are and how much I appreciate them. Because that's what I would want to hear. I'm excited about finding female comics for my show. And one time I had all females on the show and I didn't say anything about it. Like, I didn't say this is female comedy show. It just was.
We're not just, it's not shallow laughter. It's not jokes just for the sake of jokes. It's about a connection. It's about sharing a story. And that's this very spiritual thing for me. It's like, it is a religion.
I love the fact that you guys are laughing at this. It's important.
This is an occupation where you get to really find yourself and you get to get strong. You get on that stage and you go, I can say something. I can change opinions.
I think that's the power of comedy. Kids would go with their parents to see my show and then come out to their parents afterwards. You know, and that to me was the greatest gift.
A lot of long handwritten ones. Like one time someone told me that I'm the only person that they've told that they're trans. You know, and they sent me pictures of their animals. You know, people like to pour their hearts out into them.
Eliza receives flowers from a fan. She takes a selfie with a man and signs autographs.
But you're so awesome.
We fucking love you. Bye.
What I love about going on the road and around the world is seeing how my very human observations apply to a person that looks nothing like me from a place I've never been to. And it is the coolest thing ever. At its core, we all want love. We all want to feel seen. We all want to feel acknowledged. Nobody wants to feel bad about themselves. Everybody wants to be heard.
Kathy Griffin on stage.
If you don't stand up, you get run over.
Hopefully, women in power become so ubiquitous that we don't have to talk about it anymore.
And I would tell women, do the self-talk. It's your time now. Make a difference. You're going to change the world. And don't sleep with the other comics. That's one of the, do not sleep with the other comics. It's just no good.
Words appear. To all the women who have ever braved a comedy stage, footage of female comedians past and present appears.
Thank you, tonight. I love you.
Everybody wants to be the girl. Everybody wants to be extraordinarily beautiful. Everybody wants to rule the world, or the room at least, and assume that they'll be the one with a crowded funeral.
I heard about you, Hunter.
Everybody wants to have the time.
Thank you very much, Hunter.
Thank you, and good night.
Everybody wants to count their calories and money in their life.
Thanks so much.
Baby, my job is just to rhyme, and I'm fine with that.
God bless
Don't
you.
Concern myself with all of the lives I might have had.
You freaking rock!
I don't
so
think
much.
I'm too
Thank
fat
you very much.
Or too skinny for
Thank
that
you.
Matter. I
Good
see
night.
Photos of vacations
Thank
and
you.
I know they're faking
Thank
laughter. It's
Thank
a trip.
You, so much.
You only got one shot. Let her rip. Take a dip. Have
Thank
a smoke.
You.
Try to laugh at the
A title
jokes.
Appears. Hysterical. Words appear. Bonnie McFarlane's family still thinks she's weird, but they do seem to like her kid. Carmen Lynch also does stand-up for Spanish-speaking audiences, which would make her younger self proud. Fortune Themester continues to look both ways before crossing the street. She also likes to dance with ice cream. Eliza Schlesinger is starting a campaign to eliminate the word amazing from the female vocabulary. Jessica Kirsten hasn't tried to beat up any boys in at least 10 years. Judy Gold wrote a book about comedy and freedom of speech, and she's not going to let you forget it. Kathy Griffin's comeback tour was a wild success, and she's thought of a few more ways she's different from Bill Cosby. Kelly Bachman thinks it's really brave of you to think she's brave. Lisa Lampanelli's mom no longer yells except when dictating her grocery list. Margaret Cho continues to rock the mic with her Tiny Canine podcast co-host, Lucia. Marina Franklin successfully completed her cancer therapy and is feeling good. Nikki Glaser loves her sister and wants to find a large bunker for the whole family before the floods come. Sherry Shepherd's family has forgiven her for quitting the legal secretary job. Rachel Feinstein was dumped by the guy and Dick's sister after she got to New York. She made it without him. End credits appear.
Some guys do this thing in cars, which is so disgusting. They actually think they'll get a woman to pull over and go on a date with them. Ready? What the fuck is that? Can you imagine if a woman was like, hi?
She mimics sexual acts.
Victoria's Secret, they have all the little silky stuff, little silky things, and they got the things written on the back. They got pink written on the back, and I bought a pair of pink underwear, so when you get a certain age, your ass likes to eat up all the letters on the... So literally, the panties just said...
This is a funny time period after sex. You just did these series of preposterous things together, really, and then... Men, their bodies were like important. Like 20 minutes ago, you had this like powerful sexual man body that was commanding things. And now you're just running those pointless like post-sex errands around the room. Just these flaccid errands and just grabbing washcloths. There's no dumber time in all of life.
Copyright 2021 FX Productions, LLC, all rights reserved. Production number XUZ02021001. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries, and its unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Campfire, FXP, FX, Fearless,